Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to talk to you for a few moments on the supernatural power of praise. You may be seated. It does matter that you can identify who you're worshiping. I see on television all the time, and they always indicate it doesn't matter who you're praying to as long as you're praying. That's absolutely wrong. It doesn't work in any area of life. Say, well, I tell you what, I've got a car. I better send in a car payment. Who to? Well, just any of the car dealers or car manufacturers in Detroit. Doesn't matter. I'm driving a Ford. I'm going to send it to the Cadillac people. Doesn't work. Go to a restaurant. Just go pay another restaurant for what you ate. Doesn't work that way. You have to know who you're writing your check to. You have to know who you're praising. When we talk about praising God, I've got so many friends that have come from a similar background of mine that were just alive in the Spirit. I'm talking about pastors. Now they've changed and they're quiet and they're very dignified, and they've changed a lot because they found out that they can appeal to a greater number of people, attract a greater number of people. But my real goal is not to attract a greater number of people, but it's to change people. To change people from unbelievers to believers. From people that are empty to people that are filled. To people that have no idea what God wants. To teach them to be true worshipers or to be true praisers. The Bible teaches us. I'm going to talk about just one main type of praise. Now, there are great numbers of ways to praise God. And I'm going to talk about just one tonight. Shouting. Shouting. We lost our number one shouter. You know who that was? Franklin. Franklin was a true shouter. Now, I'm not talking about a dancer. I'm talking about a shouter. You would be preaching or something would be happening, and all of a sudden, Franklin would just stand up and he would shout. Now, he didn't dance. He shouted. And when we talk about shouting, we're talking about a vocal thing. You say, well, I'm not much of a shouter. You know, that's just not my personality. I just don't shout. I'm more of a whisperer. Well, let me explain to you that 258 times in the Bible we are instructed to shout, and 11 times it mentions whispering. You're in a small minority of what God says. God says, cry aloud, spare not. One translation says, shout out loud and don't hold back. God wants us to be shouters, not whispers. 258 times he gives us the commandment to praise the Lord. 72 times he mentions particular kind of shouting. Faith is the currency of heaven. I've said it 1,000 times. But praise is our heavenly checking account. Oh, I love a checking account. And it's even better when you got a checking account backed up by a savings account. You never overdraw. You never bounce a check. Praise is our heavenly checking account. The Bible said God seeks such to worship him. The Father seeketh such to worship him. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, he asked the question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Faith is the currency of heaven. But praise is the checkbook. Faith attracts the eye of God. But listen to what the Bible says. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to those that cry. Worship attracts the ear of God. Faith attracts the eye of God. Worship attracts the ear of God. Let them shout for joy and be glad, the psalmist said in Psalms 35. Be glad that favor my righteous. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. There is a difference between worship and praise, but it's so negligible, it's hard to distinguish. It's not necessarily tempo. People think if we're singing a fast song, that's praise. If we're singing a slower song, that's worship. That's not necessarily true. Praise is for what God does. For what God does. The Bible said, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise is for what God does. Worship is for who God is. The Song of Solomon, there's lots of verses. It describes him for who he is, but it sums it up this way. He is altogether lovely. That's who God is. Praise is declaration. Worship is submission. Praise is horizontal. I've told you that. Praise runs along the circumference of the earth, and God comes down to get it. Worship is vertical. It goes up like prayer, straight to the throne of God. Praise and worship are so closely connected and related that we flow from one to another without noticeable distinction. But there are so much a part of what God commands us to do. Praise is supernatural. Praise is supernatural. The Bible said, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. That makes praise supernatural. That God literally inhabits the praise. When you praise, God comes and gets in the praise. That makes it supernatural. The Chinese translation said that God comes and puts a chair in the middle of your praise when you begin to praise God. He just sits down. Now, that's beyond the understanding of most people, and it's beyond the understanding of most Christians. They don't really conceive that. But the Bible says it this way in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If somebody sees you shouting and praising God, if they're not spiritual, they say what? That's foolishness. I'm not talking just about the heathen, unregenerate world. I'm talking about people that claim to be Christians. People that are Christians, have been Christians for years, would come into this auditorium and see you praising God. And they not only would not participate, they wouldn't discern it. They'd say, that's not necessary. 258 times he tells us to praise God. But they said, well, that's not necessary. I'll just whisper. 11 times he said, whisper. 258 times he said, but they said, no, that's not necessary. Why? Because it's spiritually discerned. And if you're not spiritually filled, Pastor Brandon preached a marvelous message on the Holy Ghost this past Sunday, one of your best ever, and you've preached a lot of good ones. It was a great message. I've thought about it ever since. But praise God, when you get spiritually filled, you will discern that praise is literally a mandate from heaven that activates the supernatural power of Almighty God in our life. And so, praise God, if we do that, we know that God is with us, that anything is possible. But those that are not spiritual cannot discern that. They say, I don't understand that. And they even make fun of that and say, that's not necessary. It's not up for us to decide what's necessary. It's up for us to go to the playbook. It's up for us to go to the rule book. It's up to go see what God says. We cannot choose how we want to worship God. He is the God that we're praising, and so we must ask him how he wants to be praised. Worship attracts the ear of God. If you want God to hear you, become a praiser, become a worshiper. Praise is for what God does. You want God to do something in your life? Become a praiser. If you just want to acknowledge that God is, become a worshiper. But if you want God to do something, become both a worshiper and a praiser and begin to mix those two. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise is definitely supernatural. And it is beyond the understanding of flesh to grasp that. But when you get filled with God's Spirit, you begin to see things. You know, I know that most of the church doesn't understand that. Unless you're spiritual, you can't understand that. It's the reason why only about 20% of Christians tithe is because it does not make sense. But he didn't put it in the Bible so that you would be decreased. He put it in the Bible so you would be increased. Those that are not spiritually minded cannot understand the laws and things of God. They can't understand praise. It's just not necessary. But there is a power of praise. And I don't want to deal with dancing tonight and so many other things. I'm just going to deal primarily with shouting. There is a power of shouting. The Bible said now in Joshua chapter 6, we're going to talk about Jericho. Everybody knows about Jericho. Everybody knows that Jericho, that Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Everybody knows that. People that are not even Christians. It's a great, great story. But the Bible said this, and this is very important. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. You know, God's already given you some great things in your life. In fact, in verse 2, it said, let me read this. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho. There's things that God has already given you that the devil is shut up. And the only way that you're going to get things that God's already given you that the devil is shut up is to learn the praise of shouting. I'm going to show you that in the scripture and in this story tonight. It is a powerful thing that you use your voice. That sound. The Bible talks about there coming a sound from heaven. A sound is a mighty, mighty thing. And so God's got great things that He's already bought, purchased for you, put your name in them. But there's somebody that's got Him shut up. There's somebody that's supposed to give you a job. Somebody's supposed to give you a car. Somebody's supposed to bless you. Somebody's supposed to be a good neighbor. Somebody's supposed to be your spouse. Somebody's supposed to be your friend. Somebody's supposed to be your employer. Somebody's supposed to be a good employee. Somebody's supposed to give into your bosom. But the devil shuts it up. And the only way that you can open up what God has earmarked for you is to learn the praise of shouting. Because it's supernatural. Because when you learn to shout, God's going to inhabit that shout, praise God, and things are going to begin to happen. God's already given them to you. God has already given them to you. Pop Hagin used to say, when he was sick and had great miracles in his life, but he said, when I'd get sick, he said, the devil's told me the same old lie every time. And he'd say, this time, Hagin, you're not going to get your healing. You're not going to get your healing this time. And he'd say, well, I don't have to get it this time because God already got it that time. He said, Jesus already got it. By His stripes ye were healed. See, that was a verbal thing. That was a verbal thing. He'd say that over and over and over and over again. What an amazing man of faith he was. But you need to learn what you're saying and realize how powerful it is that God wants you to shout and not hold back. This is spiritual warfare. We talk about spiritual warfare. Shouting is spiritual warfare. The devil wants you to hold your peace. The devil does not want you to declare the goodness of God. The devil doesn't want you to declare the power of God. The devil does not want you to declare that the Lord is near, that the Lord is able, that the Lord will perform that which He's promised. But you've got to learn to shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it out. Now this is spiritual warfare. And so here was this city with these great walls around it. Those walls were so wide, history tells us, that they literally had chariot races on top of the wall. This is as wide as this building. We're not talking about a little picket fence here. We're not talking about a little chain fence, a little privacy. We're talking about a wall as wide as from the back of that building to where I'm standing. They can ride their chariots and race their chariots on top of it. And so God devised a plan. God's always got a plan, but God tells you what to do to carry out His plan. This is what He said. And He said, I want 7 priests that shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the drum. He said, here's what we're going to do. He said, I want you to get those 7 priests, and I want them to get out there, and I want them to walk around that city with their trumpets, and that's all I want you to do is blow your trumpet. That's all I want you to do. I don't want any shouting yet. I don't want any of that to happen. I just want them to, and I want them to do it 6 times. For 6 days, they're going to go around that. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great voice, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend unto every man straight before him. So here's what he said. He said, I want you to march around that city, you seven priests. Just blow that trumpet, and then you go back home. And he said, you Israel, my army, my people. He said, what I want you to do is I just want you to keep your mouth shut. He said, I don't want a word. And that was hard for Israel because Israel was the murmurous, complainingest people that ever lived on the face of the earth. He said, I don't want you to make a sound. Now, why would he say that? The commandment to be absolutely silent for 6 days before the shout. Because corresponding sounds cancel out other sounds. There's so many people that come into this church, and we get to worshiping God, and you just can't help but feel good, and the worshipers are worshiping, and the person next to you is worshiping God, and all of a sudden, you're shouting. You're just declaring the Lord is good, and the Lord is wonderful. But then on Monday, you get right back into that same routine, and you start saying things. What happened? It cancels out your shout. Your shout is supernatural, but you can cancel that if you're not very careful. Remember what I said? Praise is a checking account. But when you write a check, I did this the other day. I wrote a check to a lady that I write a check to every month on some land, and she's a widow lady, and she really needs her money on time, and so I always make sure it's on time. And she called me, and she said, Mr. Steve, I didn't get my check. I said, well, I mailed it about 7 days before. She said, well, I didn't get it. And I said, okay. And I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the bank and stop payment on that one. And she's got a, but she lives in another town, but she's got a bank that has a branch in Seguin. And I said, I'll tell you what I want to do from now on. I'm not going to mail your check. I'm going to go into that bank at Seguin. And on the 13th of every month, I'm going to put that amount in your checking account where you'll never, ever have to depend on the mail again. That's what I like. Money that don't have to depend on the mail. You can't trust the mail. Oh, they'll bring in bills, but if you got checks, they'll lose them suckers. But I went to that bank, and I stopped payment on that check. Well, when you begin to shout, it's exactly like writing a check. Praise God, it's going to happen, providing that you don't tear that check up, and providing that you actually get it in the mail, and providing that the mail gets through, and providing you don't stop payment on it. We've got a lot of people that think they're praisers on Sunday, but they're gossipers on Monday, or they're negative on Tuesday, or they're troublemakers on Thursday. They don't realize, but they're stopping payment on their shout check, and that thing was about to happen. Oh, it was just about to happen, and they stopped payment on that check. Friend, I want you to come into the house of God, and I want you to learn to be like Franklin Fregoso was. I want you to learn to be shouters, but it ain't going to do you a bit of good if you can't go out there on Monday and replicate that and echo that. You know, the Bible tells us to praise the Lord in the ferment of His power, and He stresses that because He wants you to praise God not only in the sanctuary, but you get out there and you praise God. I told you how I praised God in that elevator when we so desperately needed the Lord's help financially in the 80s. And I was praising God in that elevator, and all of a sudden those doors opened. I thought I was by myself, and there's 50 people or 100 people in that great foyer of that great office building. And I was just praising and talking tongues and shouting to the Lord. Well, there wasn't no time to be embarrassed. I just walked out. They parted like the Red Sea. I just praised God all the way to the car. Went straight to a banker that I never had met before and told her what I needed. And Miss Claudel Kirchhoff said, Steve, I like you. First time I ever met her. She said, I can get you $1 million, but it'll take 2 weeks. I said, I can wait 14 days for $1 million. Praise God. I believe it was directly correlated to my shout outside of the tabernacle, outside of the sanctuary. It was out there in the ferment of His power. Oh, we've had a job with some of you. Some of you little Catholic people, all you could do was just work on them beads. We didn't tell you to give up the beads. We just got you so busy you didn't have time to finger those beads, praise God. And so we got you praising God in here. When the music gets just right and the sermon is just right, you'll praise God and you'll shout a little bit. Oh, that ain't good enough. I got to get you shouting in the streets. The Bible says shout it from the rooftop. Shout it from the rooftop. Praise God. You got to begin to praise God every facet of your life, not just when you're in the house of God. Praise God on the job. Praise God in your car. Praise God in your house. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Joshua said, "You don't shout. You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Then ye shall shout." Because he didn't want them to cancel their shout. He didn't want there to be a conflicting sound. Because your shout is so powerful. So the people shouted. They shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. You know the reason why he had those men going around with those trumpets before they shouted? Because the trumpets are always a sound of warning. Trumpets always a warning. You go to Revelation and study the book of Revelation, and it's always got those trumpet of warnings. And so what God was saying, you people that have shut up Israel's blessing, he said, even now, I'm going to warn you, the praisers are coming. The praisers are coming. You know when this group starts playing, praise God, when they start blowing that saxophone, when they start on these instruments and on these keyboards, you know what that ought to be saying? The praisers are coming. These are not the only praisers. Every one of us ought to be praisers. Hallelujah. Oh, and so those trumpets were saying, the praisers are coming. The praisers are coming. The praisers are coming. The praisers are coming. Hey, here's a great verse. I just realized I hadn't thought about it for years. Psalm 115:17. Psalm 115:17. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. You go out in a cemetery, ain't nobody praising God out there. And you go out into a dead church, ain't nobody praising you. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. People that are spiritually alive, the Bible said the Holy Ghost will quicken you. It'll make you alive. People that are spiritually alive are not dead. They're praisers. They can't help themselves. I know people, you got to get them by the ear and twist it to get them to say a half a hallelujah. They don't even say hallelujah. They just say holla. They don't even get to you. Just holla. I mean, just barely get it out. Oh, praise the Lord. That's not a shout. Praise the Lord! That's a shout. Oh, hallelujah. People that are dead don't praise the Lord. People that are silent don't praise the Lord. People that are spiritually dead don't praise the Lord. Here's an observation. The closer people get to death, the quieter they get. I've noticed that about myself. I'm 70 years of age. I used to go out, we'd go out and eat the whole family. They do all the talking. I got to think about that verse the other day. I'm just going to start dominating the conversation. I want everybody to know I'm not getting quieter. I'm getting louder. I'm getting louder. And my daddy was a great conversationalist, and he liked to talk and laugh and a lot of funny stuff. But as he got older, the last year or two, he got quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter. Can it be that there is a real correlation there? That your shout keeps you alive? What did David say? What did David say? He said, when I am silent, when I'm silent, what did he say about his bones? He said, my bones wax old. My bones wax old. My bones wax old. Somebody said in a church, a friend of mine said that this older woman kept saying, it's too loud, too loud, too loud. They finally told her, said, we're tired of your complaining. Said, you got one of two choices. You can either leave or you can wear this t-shirt. The t-shirt said, it's not too loud, I'm too old. The older you are, the quieter you like it. But praise God, if you want to live big, if you want to live abundant, if you want to get off the... Oh, old age is not the thing that... It's not golden years, believe me. The first thing is you got a fixed income. I don't want nobody fixing my income. Next thing you got to do is downsize. I'm on a fixed income. I'm downsizing. Praise God. I'm on an unfixed income, and I'm upsizing. Praise God. I'm gonna like Jonathan Stringfellow said, I'm going to stand proud and talk loud. Praise God. Because I've got a praise inside of me that just can't quit. He saved me when I was a boy. He kept me every day of my life. He is still my ever-present in the help of need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Did you know that Lucifer was an instrument of praise before his fall? That's what the Bible teaches. It teaches us that in Ezekiel chapter 28. But he was not a praiser per se. He was an instrument of praise. The truth is, if you are saved, washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, filled with his Spirit, you are not a praiser, you are a praise. You are a praise. Lucifer was a praise. And when you study it out, he had in him sockets. The Bible used that word sockets and tabrets. And what would happen is when the air would move through him, he was an instrument. And this beautiful praise would just come through him as the wind would blow through him. What does that tell you? It tells me that my greatest moment of praise is when the winds of adversity are blowing through me, and all of a sudden I'm up and I say, woo! I'm going to shout to the Lord. I'm going to shout to the Lord. I'm going to shout to the Lord. Oh, when you do that, something powerful happens. He's called the Prince of the Air. Not because he's in control of everything, because when air moved through him, it gave God a praise. I'm asking you this tonight. When a wind blows through you, when trouble comes to you, what does it produce? Does it produce that offsetting sound of moaning and complaining and doubt, saying, oh, I just thought the Lord would do it. I don't know why. See, that's the offsetting sound. Or when the devil comes in like a flood. What happens when you have a storm, a flood? That wind blows. How's that sound? Oh, that wind begins to blow through you. The bigger the flood, the stronger the wind, the greater the shout. Praise God. I'm just going to shout to the Lord because the Lord, he's good to me. The Lord is good all the time. He is worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my glory. He's worthy of my worship. It don't matter what happens. I want to say the Lord is good all the time. He has been my God. He will be my God. He is my God. He's brought me a mighty long way, praise God, and he's going to take me all the way. And so my job is to be a shouter, to be a shouter, to be a shouter. Shout the things of God. Shout that he's good. Shout that he's wonderful. Shout that he's able. Shout that he doesn't change. Shout that he's always on the throne. Shout that he knows you by name. Shout that he's a waymaker. Shout that he's a healer. Shout that he's a savior. Shout that he's a money provider. Ah, give the Lord a shout. Oh, hallelujah. See, you can get saved and then let the world call the things of God foolish and never use the weaponry that's available to you. See, shouting is a weapon. Shouting is a weapon. And the devil will laugh at you and the world would mock you and call it foolish. But you've got to be able to withstand that and say, I'm going to shout anyway. Ain't nobody going to take my shout. I'm going to shout to the top of my voice. I'm going to shout he's good all the time. I'm going to shout he is my God. He's my Savior. He's my salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not because we're evil people. It's because we have not so been trained. But the truth is, if we could learn to praise God, to shout out there on the battlefield. Oh, and the Bible said, and when they shouted, the walls fell flat. It didn't shout when they trumpeted. It fell when they shouted. There's something about a shout. 258 times he said, praise me. He wants you to be a shouter. And every one of you, there's a Jericho where the good things have already been given to you, but man's got them locked up. And nothing you can do about it as far as getting a lawyer and doing this and all the weapons of man and flesh are not working. You just need to shout. Just need to shout. How many times? Until the walls come down. Shout till the walls come down. Shout until your daughter's saved. Shout until you get the job. Shout until you're healed. Shout until you got the check. Shout until you're happy. Shout until you're blessed. Shout until you overcome in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me close with this, 1 Peter 2:9. You're a chosen generation. That's who you are. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar, which means a set apart, different from your unsaved neighbor, set apart, peculiar person, peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him. He said, oh, I whisper to the Lord a lot. Whispering to the Lord is not showing forth praises. In order for you to show forth praises, somebody has to see it. Somebody has to hear it. And preferably, it's the enemy of the Lord. There's a power in praising God among the heathen that is not available in praising God among your praise peers. Everybody around you praising God just like, that's great. But it's not as powerful as it is singing the Lord's song in a strange land. Singing the Lord's song in a strange land. They ain't never seen it. They ain't never heard it, but they're going to hear it now. They're going to see it now. Why? I'm a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, and God has called me to show forth the praises of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you lift your hands and give the Lord a shout? Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. You know, there's a verse, and it doesn't read quite this way in the King James, but it means this, but there is a translation where it reads exactly this way. And it says, when the people of God laugh, God does big business. When the people of God laugh, God does big business. Some of you need to do some big business in your life, and God will do it for you if you'll just get happy and start laughing and shouting and praising God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shoko satana havaya. Oh, praise God. Devils scatter. Demons run. Sickness flees. Poverty bows its knee. Hallelujah. If you're in this house today and you know that God has given you a promise, that you've got a Jericho loaded with gold and silver and everything good, but they just won't turn it loose. But praise God, I want you to walk down this aisle today and start shouting until the walls come down. And God's going to turn that tuition loose. God's going to turn that car loose. God's going to turn that family loose. God's going to turn that courthouse loose. Praise God. God's going to set it free. The walls are going to fall down if you'll learn the ministry of shouting into the Lord. Hallelujah. You ever watch the news? This world is absolutely crazy. Every night it's something crazier than the night before. And we're afraid to shout out there in the presence of the world. The problem with the church is we've got too normal. We need to be doing things that the world brands foolishness. When the world brands you normal, my friend, you have lost the power of God. They've got to think you're foolish. You're crazy. Those people are weird. But I promise you, if you'll learn the ministry of shouting, that your results will stop the mouth of the gainsayer. He'll say they're crazy, but boy, they get more stuff done. More stuff happens to them. They just have more luck. That's what they'll call. They'll say they have more luck than anybody, and you'll have to correct them. No, it ain't luck. It's the product of shouting. My God broke the walls down, and I'm rushing into Jericho to get what God has promised me. Becky is singing, I'm through. Anybody else want to come down here right now and say, Pastor, I'm going to get into this. I'm not going to hold my peace. I'm going to become a vocal defendant and announcer of the Lord. Wherever I go, I'm going to lift up His name. I'm going to exalt His goodness. I'm going to announce His power. I'm not going to be ashamed of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God's getting ready. Oh, those are great people.